fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to finish up with the theme of the kingdom of God this week. We've been talking about so much happening in the life of the church these days. Today is the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Say a little prayer this morning, begin the program for all those who are present there, for standing for life. It's such an important moment, such an important expression, and it's spiritual battle, it's spiritual warfare. And Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we pray today for all those who are at the March for Life and those around the country who are standing today for life. Lord, we pray, first of all, for all of those women right now and men who are contemplating an abortion. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you extend your hand right now in mercy, in this year of mercy, that in the midst of the fear that's present there, the enemy's strategy to dominate them and to lead them to fear, to destroy the image of God, Lord, I pray that you would break in, you'd shed your light into the darkness, and that those who you have made, those are your children, who you desire to bring into your kingdom, to receive grace and mercy and salvation, we pray, Lord, that your light would shine right now to drive away the darkness, to drive away the fear and the anxiety that's present, and to bring peace and to help them see the life and the value of the life that is present. Come, Holy Spirit, pour out your power on that march. Pour out your power on those who are giving testimony today, those heroic women who are standing and giving testimony to the decisions they had made to have abortions in their life. Lord, let their word go forward, the truth, and dispel the darkness and the lies that are present. Lord, I pray that you bring to an end today. We unite our hearts with all these brothers and sisters to inspire politicians, inspire religious leaders, inspire those who are driving the abortion industry to repent, to change their hearts. Lord, open their eyes and drive back the work of the enemy. Come, Lord, reveal the truth about the life and the eternal value of these children. Lord, thank you for the leadership of all those who are carrying the banner today. Let your name be glorified. Come, Lord, take away this scourge on our country and on the world and forgive us for the sin of our own participation or our own indifference. And let your mercy come in this year of mercy. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. We've been talking this week about the battle of the kingdom or the outbreak of the kingdom. And part of what we see in the readings the church gives us in the gospel is Jesus goes forward preaching the gospel. And I love it when he's preaching. He said, it's for this purpose. He said, let's go to the next town. Let's keep doing this. He's saying to the apostles, because it's for this purpose that I've come. What's that purpose? To preach the kingdom of God. Interesting, God could have done it in a lot of ways. He could have just sent the angels and established his kingdom and destroyed all opposition, but he sent his son. God's plan of salvation is for his son to become one of us and to speak to us and to show us our entire purpose, who we are. He manifests the intentions of our hearts. He reveals the truth that's in us. And he exposes us to the light of the kingdom of God. And he opens our eyes so that we can see. And he's our elder brother who comes to take us by the hand because he wants to bring us home. He wants to show us. But the Father offers the kingdom. He doesn't impose the kingdom. And the kingdom comes to us through the preaching of the gospel, which is so important for us to remember. Paul tells us faith comes through hearing, and what's heard is the word of God. It's God's plan, St. Paul tells us, that it's his plan and strategy that through the wisdom of what we preach to save those who believe, he tells us in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And Jesus said, it's for this reason that I've come, to proclaim the good news of God, of the reign of God, the good news that everything is going to be made right, that mercy has come to the world. that a power in Christ has come to destroy everything that opposes God in the human heart. God has come to plant his flag, his kingdom in your heart. Remember earlier in the week, Jesus preached the gospel, and the apostles, those who were to become apostles, were listening. They began to be moved, and he looked at them and he said, "Come, follow me." That's what he's saying to you. Come, follow me. Today, thinking about those brothers and sisters, so many of them from all around the country who've gone to the March for Life, they're following the Lord. They've been moved. They've been called to what? To witness to life. To be courageous and to go forward and to declare the truth that life belongs to God and that each one of these children are made by God and they're of infinite value. And they're standing in the power of Jesus and in the power of his kingdom. And Jesus says to each one of us today, to you and to me, drop your nets. The passage from Mark said, the apostles heard the call and they dropped their nets and they followed him. They dropped their nets and they followed him. What are the nets that you're holding on to, that I'm holding on to today, that are keeping me from really putting Jesus at the center of my life? I mean, the apostles, in the unique call they had, Jesus was calling them to leave their livelihood, and in some cases to leave their family for a time, and to begin to follow him. We're not all called to leave our livelihood right now. But what we are called to do is to take our entire enterprise, our time, our talent, our treasure, our life, our dreams, our hopes, our job, everything, and bring them under the lordship of Jesus, to bring them under the authority of Jesus, to begin to see everything I'm doing, the gifts I've been given, the place I'm landed, everywhere that I've been given a call right here where I'm planted to serve Jesus first, to witness to him first. That when I get out of bed in the morning, I just saw some YouTube videos on how some of the most influential people in America begin their day. There's all kinds of, you can imagine, you know, Bill Gates and how Steve Jobs did it and how this President Obama does it and everything. You know, many of them begin their day, they begin with exercise. You know, they get up and bike for an hour or 45 minutes or jump in the pool and swim. Or they listen to positive thinking tapes and things like that. Or they write down the top things they want to do on that day and how they can make the most of the day, which is good stuff. You know, it's helpful stuff. But when you become a disciple of Jesus, let your day start putting first things first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Start your day, whether you feel like you got to exercise first, go ahead and do that. But before your day begins, take time alone with the Lord and submit everything in that day to him. And then make that list as you prayerfully think through the day. Because the difference between you and maybe some of the other people I'm describing, I don't know their lives, but the difference between you and someone who's not yet a disciple is you understand you're being sent into that day on mission. You belong now to someone else. And you're not just serving your personal goals for your life. And you're not just serving someone else's priorities for your life. Your first service is to the King and to those he sends you to. You're in a real relationship with the God of the universe. And as a disciple, as we see in these readings this week, you've come to understand that your life is no longer your own. You belong to another. And that's radical freedom. That's not a bad thing. That's as good as it gets. You've been captured by the King. You have come to understand through the preaching of the gospel, through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, you've come to see who you are and to understand that the very meaning of your life, the greatest good you could ever know and experience, the greatest gift, the greatest treasure you literally could ever possess, is to be everything you were made to be fulfilled. Jesus said, here's the road to fulfillment. Follow me. I'm the one who understands what everything is about, what this is all about, why the cosmos is here, why you're here on earth and everything. I know it. I know how to find and to lead you to happiness, to complete fulfillment. I'm showing you your destiny. This is not your home. This earth cannot satisfy your deepest hunger because it's fallen and it's broken. It's no longer God-directed. It's under the dominion of darkness. But I've come to establish my kingdom and to give you power now, to give you a way out, to release you, to let you out of jail, to let you move into a new way of life. And look at the radical life of the saints. Friends, they're living signs of what can happen in a human life when a man or a woman, boy or girl, says yes to God and yes to Jesus. Jesus is very, very serious about what's at stake. He gave everything. He was beaten, stripped, crucified for us. He was all out and all in. He's leading you and me into that same battle. Today in Washington, D.C., there's a spiritual battle going on. And there'll be people cursing and screaming at the pro-lifers, those who are present. Jesus said from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing." They have no idea what they're saying, even though they're saying it in the harshest and loudest way they know how. They don't understand. Lord, today we pray that you have mercy on them. Let conversions happen. Let your love break into their hearts. Let the kingdom of God come in power into their lives today. Friend, I want to take the last minute to just read this passage from chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. The writer is given a vision of what's going on in heaven, the declaration of the victory of Christ and the worship of the angels and saints. He says this, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to thee, O Lord God Almighty, who art and who was, that thou hast taken your great power and you have begun to reign.'" The reign of God has begun in the person of Jesus Christ, our King. Friends, let's live under his reign. Let's live in his reign. Let's live in his power and become all we're meant to be. Receive the gift that he might lead you to ultimate fulfillment. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.